In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The last Sunday of the liturgical year in the modern calendar is always the Feast of Christ the King. It gives us the opportunity, first and foremost, to consider the previous year, and then to reorient ourselves with the coming of Advent, the beginning of the church year 2023, which begins next Sunday. So it's an opportunity to do an examine of sorts, and whether or not we have truly lived as though Christ is the King. There's an indication here given in this passage from the Gospel of Luke with regards to the reality of what it looks like. We already know that Protestants and Mohammedans and Jews and all these other false religions do not worship or treat Christ as the King because their whole mindset is self-oriented. For Catholics, then, there has to be an added dimension of self-awareness, and that's how this can apply, how you can evaluate your own self with regards to whether or not Christ is your King. Because if Christ is your King, then you look like Saint Dismas. If Christ is not your King, then you look like Gestmas. And so already the world on the outside, it already hates our Lord, as the beginning of this gospel indicates. The rulers sneer at Jesus, acknowledging who he is without really knowing it. If you are the chosen one, the Christ of God, come down from the cross. Those who he's dying for hate him. So the world hates Christ. This is certain. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. This is the King of the Jews. Those who are outside of the church are always wanting Christ to prove himself to them, are always provoking our Lord, are always tempting our Lord. Shouldn't be that way with a Catholic, though. It shouldn't be. When we get, though, to St. Dismas and Gestmas, we can sort of see what it would look like if you're a Catholic who does not serve Christ as King. Because you're not too different from the world with regards to the reality of attacking Christ, but you're quite different from the world because you've been given so many gifts and so many graces, yet you squander them if you're this kind of Catholic. You squander them because of your own pride, self-love. It's all about you. Catholics who serve themselves yet claim they are serving Christ the King are just like Gestmas, shaking their fists at God when things don't go well, angry at God, demanding an explanation, demanding some kind of sign, proof that he loves them, as though creation and, of course, the crucifixion were not enough. And so they're accustomed to being angry at God. They're accustomed to question God. And everything that God does is supposed to, in the end, orient around them, this kind of Catholic. If you don't serve Christ as King, this is the kind of Catholic you are. Save yourself and us. Everything you must do must be oriented around me. Everything you do as Christ must make me feel good, must make me happy, must save me, must spare me. And certainly I don't believe about this kind of Catholic that I'm supposed to suffer in any way, shape, or form. I don't expect any kind of inconvenience. So self-absorbed that grace is resisted, hence God resists the proud. Even though he is in the presence of grace himself, when Christ is actually working out salvation, he's almost immune to the grace because he is so self-absorbed, so selfish. Everything is about him. If you are the Christ, which means prove yourself to me, are you not the Christ, which means answer the question, you better prove that you're Christ to me. Save yourself and us. provoking, taunting, demanding. Those who call themselves Catholic, but Christ is not their king, he's not the center of their lives, are just like this with our Lord. When things are going well, they're nice to him. When things are going poorly, they want nothing to do with him. Or they're yelling at him and demanding that he prove himself to them. Indeed, they are so self-absorbed, they think Christ is about them, when in all reality, Christ is the King, and they are about Christ, the image of the invisible God, the one who has imprinted himself on us with our baptisms, configured us towards the Father by virtue of making us like him, the Son. If you're that kind of Catholic, that's what it looks like for you. There's always a degree of anger and bitterness in you if Christ isn't your king. You tend to get mad at little things. You tend to ultimately lose your temperance everywhere. Because you have no foundation. You have no right relationship with God, so therefore you cannot have a right relationship with yourself, and so you are angry. Angry at the world, angry at God, angry at the Christ. Yet you still claim that he is your king, but clearly he is not. Because if he is, your life is transformed, and no one is more important in your life than Jesus Christ himself. No one. So ultimately, if you are a follower of Christ, you have the qualities of Saint Dismas, the repentant thief. He demonstrates, because he's been touched by grace, he's been given the gift of faith by God the Father, as God the Father said, no one comes to the Son except through the Father, or God the Son said, and God the Son said, no one comes to the Son except through the Father, but no one comes to the Father except through the Son. So our Lord himself is saying, we must be the center, the center. He must be the center. He must be the center of our lives to save us from sin and death. And so you see a man touched by that grace, been given the gift of faith. What's the first thing he does? Those who serve themselves only think about themselves, and therefore they make everyone around them only think about them and expect a kind of slavery, servitude. And you see how the scripture tells us, when you put all the gospels together, how powerful the grace of the crucifixion is, because at the beginning of all this, Dismas was doing exactly the same thing as Gesmas. He too was cursing Christ. He too was angry. But conversion occurs because somewhere within he was open. He was open to grace. And he cooperated with his own free will. Suddenly, he himself doesn't matter. One of the benchmarks of being a true follower of Christ the King is, as I said, he comes first. And you will defend him no matter what. Gesmas is attacking the Christ on the cross. Dismas comes to his defense. You know you are not of Christ. You know you are not of Christ if you have made anyone else more important than him. One of the best ways to determine if you're in a right relationship, whether it be a friendship or family or romantic, not only is no sin involved, but by being in that relationship, you are drawn closer to Christ, which would be why Christ put that person in your life. If the person draws you away from Christ, if the person draws you only into him or herself and expects you to make them your Messiah, them your king or queen, then you know it is Satan who is at work in the relationship. Because Satan sees one person making great spiritual progress, so he disposes, free will is always there, he disposes another person to cling to that person and try to pull that person back down, to make him or herself Christ to that person. And because of concupiscence, without grace, it often happens that people will fall flat on their faces because they'll make someone else more important than Christ. that will make someone else their king or their queen, and they will lose themselves in that person. And when they wake up later on and discover that truth, they're filled only with hatred and resentment because they are trapped and they know it. Because they don't have the strength to get out. Even though Christ offers them, as St. Paul indicates to us, freedom from slavery, they make themselves slaves. And indeed, we're not beyond hope because St. Dismas proves it. So the first quality you would have if you are a true follower of Christ the King is that he comes first. You think of him before you think of yourself. And given the gift of faith and cooperating with his own free will because grace builds on nature, Dismas defends the Christ. Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly. For the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing. Second quality, if you're a true follower of Christ, contrition. You know, as the psalm says, the just man sins 7 times a day. You know, as St. Paul says, we're all unworthy, and he himself says he doesn't preach what he preaches because he's arrived, but because he struggles against sin too, and he has not yet arrived. In other words, every Catholic who is truly a follower of Christ the King is contrite and takes responsibility for his evil actions. After all, Gesmus in his selfishness is demanding Christ to save him, demanding the belief that he is innocent, which is why he thinks Christ should save him. Whereas St. Dismas knows he deserves his punishment. And because he has indeed been affected by grace, he is most willing to endure it and trying to remind Gesmus of the same thing. Because of contrition, because we know we have done wrong, that means if we're followers of Christ the King, we know when we sin and we crawl, if necessary, to the foot of the cross, begging our Lord's forgiveness, the sacrament of penance, and being restored by the only one who can save us. We're aware of our sinfulness if we are followers of Christ and we try to change it by cooperating with grace and going to the sacrament of confession, penance, which then makes us willing to suffer for our sins. None of us would think, if we are truly contrite of our sins, that we deserve anything good because we know how offensive our sins are to God. Therefore, any opportunity to suffer we'll embrace as a penance. We'll offer it up in reparation to our Lord, rightly offended by our sins, because we love him. If he is our King, we absolutely love him more than anyone else, which is why our love for others would be ordered and ideal if we love Christ first, and indeed impossible to do without grace. We would not want to see the Christ offended by our own sins or other people's sins, so we'd work against evil. We would indeed approach God with that mindset that only Christ can save us and we desperately need him. The third quality that is an imperative for a true follower of Christ the King, besides the fact that he indeed places Christ at the center of his life and will defend Christ and be with Christ, and the fact that he is contrite for his sins, knows what his sins are, takes responsibility for them, and works for full amendment of his life towards God, is that he is humble. Remember, Gesmus is commanding Christ to save him. Dismas knows he's not worthy of being saved. All he says, because he's been given the gift of faith, which means he lives up to what St. Paul and St. Peter would both preach later on in their epistles, that there's only one name by which any man can be saved, the holy name of Jesus. And that is why Dismas says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He doesn't say, save me and yourself. He doesn't say, you owe me salvation because you're the God of love. He doesn't say, if you love me, you let me do whatever I want, and then you're going to take me to heaven. Hardly. He knows he's not worthy of it, and he simply asks our Lord to remember him. How How often Catholics who are of the Gesmas style, that Christ is not their king but their loyal servant, have a sense of entitlement about the faith, have a sense of entitlement about receiving communion, and of course never feel entitled to penance because they avoid it at all costs. And yet if you are truly a follower of Christ the King, you're humble before Him. You possess these qualities where Christ is the center of your life, where you know that you are guilty of sin and are contrite and work against sin and work towards reparation and atonement, and you are humble before God, never demanding anything of Him, but being aware that He is King and you are at His mercy, and therefore you trust only in Him, humbly approaching Him always for who He is as King. That is when the Christ will say to you, "Amen, I say to you." Remember, amen is not just "I believe," as people want to say. It means "so be it." It means you have firm confidence. Or what it's saying is profoundly true. "Amen, I say to you," Jesus says to St. Dismas, "this day you will be with me in paradise." Those are the qualities it takes to have Christ as King. And just as the first reading indicated, David was the true king. Saul failed at it. And David himself would indeed fall short in his own personal life, but he was of the line. He started the line that would bring the true king, the son of David, Jesus Christ. And the role of the king is to save his people. David would save his people from the Philistines. David would save his people from other aggressors. Christ saves us from sin and death. But only if we want to be saved, only if we serve the King. Realize the superabundance of grace that came to St. Dismas, who at the beginning of the crucifixion was cursing the Christ, reviling the Christ right along with Gesmas, but by virtue of the gift of faith and his cooperation with grace, he changes. He's contrite before the Lord, which is why he says we deserve our punishment. He defends our Lord, which is why he stops Gesmas from attacking him. And remember, he is suffering on the cross as well. And he never once complains about it once he's converted, because he knows he deserves it because of his sins, which in some indications are revolutionaries, not just thieves, revolutionaries and murderers. And both those things went together in ancient times if you're a revolutionary. Consider that same superabundance of grace is present every time you're at Mass. That's why the Church wants you to be here at least once a week for the Sabbath, but every day if possible, because you are given the chance to be just like Dismas. The very same grace that converted Dismas is available at every single Mass, because it's the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill. And he did it exactly for that reason, so that we could participate in the graces for the conversion of our souls and the perfection of our souls. But of course, it's up to us to want to do that. Grace lies dormant if you do not cooperate with it. So, we begin the new church year next year. Be honest with yourself. Over the past year, have you been Gesmas or Dismas? If you have been Dismas, continue to cooperate with grace and recognize not only does grace build on nature, but grace perfects nature. But if you've been Gesmas and Christ has not been the center of your life, so many others and so many things were more important than He throughout this past year. And if you find yourself even behaving in some ways towards a Christ like Gesmas, now's your chance, even at this very Mass, to cooperate with the very same grace that converted Dismas to Christ, where he indeed recognized Christ as his King. And the Church has taught that the throne from which Christ reigns is the cross until the end of the world, when we see him on his throne. But ultimately, when you take stock of the year, recognize the grace is there. Doesn't mean you're going to change overnight, but dedicate the new year, the new liturgical year of 2023, to making Christ your King to being a Dismas instead of Guestmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven.